Good evening, everyone. I call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024. It is now 6 p.m. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and at www.slow-span.org. A reminder, the live stream is about a minute behind what's happening in the room. So if you want to call in for public comment or discussion, please call in now, and you may do that at 805-321-6639. The phone line is now open. I haven't selected someone to do the pledge. Would someone like to do the pledge? Look at you, Vice Chair Swift.
Come to attention, please. Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ms. Ratana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Here.
Commissioner Halverson?
Here.
Vice Chair Swift?
Here.
Chair Mann?
Here.
Please let the record show that Commissioner Holden is not present.
At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission, it should be noted, the Commission should by motion adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Are there any revisions proposed to the agenda? Seeing no and hearing no changes, I will invite a motion to approve the agenda.
We approve the agenda as submitted.
Do I have a second?
I will second that.
And we can do this by voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. And I will reiterate, please call in at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, we will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this commission. The commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. I will open public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak to an item that is not on today's agenda? Seeing no hands, Ms. Ratana, is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
I will close public comment for this portion. We now move on to the consent agenda, of which there are two items. Is there any member of, I open that. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on an item listed under the consent agenda? If so, please call in at 805-321-6639. Is there anyone in the room who'd like to speak to an item on the consent agenda? Seeing no one. Ms. Ratana, is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
Does anyone on the commission want to pull any item from the consent agenda to discuss? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
And do I have a second?
I will second that.
Thank you. Ms. Ratana, would you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. Thank you very much. Moving right along to our public hearing items. As a reminder, if you would like to call in for public comment on an item, please call in at 805-321-6639. If you are in the room and would like to give public comment on one of the items under the public hearing, please grab, do we have our slips at the back? Yes, so please grab a slip, put your name and the item you wish to comment on, and please give it to Ms. Ratana. I will open public comment. Well, I suppose I have to read this first. I close that back. We will now move on to development application 2456, and we will hear from Associate Planner Janet Reese. Thank you.
Good evening. Development application 2456 is for 948 Huston Street. It's a request for a development permit and use permit to construct a 9,300 square foot building with potential commercial cannabis uses in the future. The project would result in development of the lot with associated on-site and off-site improvements and utilities. The project site is located along Huston Street within the city's industrial zone and is part of an approved 11-acre development known as Grover Business Park, which was approved back in 1998. The site has previously disturbed soil as a result of being previously developed with a drainage basin on the westerly portion of the site, about half of it, and that drainage basin supports the Grover Business Park. To date, there are four lots that have been developed, and two additional lots are currently under construction. The proposed project consists of construction of a 300 square foot industrial building, on-site parking spaces, trash enclosures, landscaping, and site utilities, along with a meandering sidewalk, which continues the existing meandering sidewalk design along Huston Street that was adopted as part of the Grover Business Park. The project also will also provide additional on-site drainage through incorporation of a landscape drainage basin in the front to accommodate the additional impervious surface. They also will have an option to expand or deepen the existing drainage basin to accommodate on-site drainage. The proposed building would have a building height of 32 feet and contain four suites, each with about 2,200 square feet of floor area and 650 square feet of mezzanine area. So bottom floor area is 2,200 square feet is here with this upper mezzanine area on one side of the building. In addition, the suite closest to Huston Street would include an additional 650 square feet of office space with restroom facilities and a 600 square foot deck above. The proposed building utilizes a mix of galvanized steel and stucco on the facade facing Huston, while predominantly being steel in the rear portion of the building. The proposed building includes a varied roof height with a steep pitch, and the use of colors, windows, and other treatments help break up the facade. All proposed development projects shall be consistent with the city's general plan, which includes the land use element. In the land use element, the proposed site or the subject site is designated as industrial, which allows for industrial parks, warehouses, and retail uses when accessory to an industrial use, light manufacturing, and similar and compatible uses. There are two general plan policies applicable to this project, LUE 11.4 Clean Industries and 20.3 overall design objectives for industrial development. The applicant has designed the site and building with design components consistent with objective design standards, which such as defined access from Huston Street, convenient access and parking, and a main entry area. The building will accommodate industries that will not pose a health risk associated with water or air pollution or potential leaks and spills. Therefore, staff believes the proposed project is consistent with the applicable land use policies, land use element policies. Similarly, the city's development code identifies specific development standards and requirements for development. Consistent with the land use element designation, the project site is zoned industrial, and the project is consistent with the purpose of the zone and meets applicable development standards and requirements contained in the development code, the industrial design guidelines, and the Grover Gardens Business Park Master Plan. In addition to the general development standards for the building and site, the development code also includes additional development standards for commercial cannabis uses. Since tenants have not been identified, staff has included conditions requiring that the applicant or future cannabis tenant would comply with standards applicable to commercial cannabis uses, such as security measures and odor control systems. A future commercial cannabis tenant would also be required to obtain a commercial cannabis permit. The proposed project qualifies for a Class 3 categorical exemption from CEQA because it meets the criteria established for new construction of facilities not greater than 10,000 square feet in size. The proposed building is less than 10,000 square feet with a floor area and is surrounded by development. Tonight's recommendation is to adopt the resolution to approve the project as proposed, subject to the findings and conditions of approval contained in the draft resolution. And staff's available for questions.
Thank you very much, Associate Planner Reese. Do any of the commissioners at this time have any questions for staff? And I will call on you in alphabetical order. Commissioner Halverson.
No questions.
Commissioner Hoffman.
I'm just wondering, do we know how many existing cannabis businesses are there in Grover Beach?
I believe there are 9 operating currently, but that is something that I can look up and get back to you in just a few short minutes. Okay. Give me some time.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Swift.
So there are no residential places adjacent to this property, right?
I don't believe there are any live-work. That would be the only residential, other than transitional supportive housing, that would be allowed within the industrial zone. But cannabis uses are required to be set back from residential zones, not residential uses. So if there was a live-work unit or if there was some form of a transitional or supportive housing use that was within proximity to this development, there would not be a setback requirement.
And so in the presentation, she addresses smell from processing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've asked you for other developments in that area if we have any concern about noise ordinance, rotating machinery, coupling to the basin, coupling to the neighborhoods. Is there any way to assure that this isn't going to produce low frequency noises that get into the neighborhoods around it?
Depending on the proposed use, if they decide to enter into a lease with a commercial cannabis tenant, at that point in time, we would rely on the certified professionals, whether that's an industrial hygienist for odors, or whether it's some form of a mechanical engineer statement from a certified engineer that could give us that
noise
information. We would rely on that at that time. But off the top of my head right now, I can't, because we don't have any standards relative to that that measurement, I can't speak to it. But if it was a concern, we could absolutely address it at that time.
So that would happen at the time that a permit is actually issued for doing the work in the building?
Correct.
Okay. And so my second question was with regards to water consumption. Would that also be the same case, is that once a permit is pulled to do the cultivation in the building, would that be the time that water use was addressed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if a commercial cannabis use was for cultivation, they are required to have a water reuse plan.
And then my third question was for industrial applications, is there anything like Title 24 in industrial situations that require net zero for new construction, or is that just on residential?
I don't know the answer to that, and our building official, our contracted building official, is not present this evening, but I can get back to you with that information.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. And I just wanted to clarify, so this is for four units that could be rented to four different businesses, correct?
Correct. It's one building with four, it's designed as four suites,
okay,
but could be either occupied by, yeah, they could be
up to four.
Up to four.
Yeah. But only one of the units would have access to that balcony area. And the office. Okay. But they could build out whatever they want inside of that. Like, it looks like there's going to be bathrooms, and if they wanted a break area or something, they could.
Correct. They would,
yeah.
Still have to meet California building code, which does require bathrooms.
So, okay, great. I was just curious about that. Moving on, I will now open the public hearing. And I will invite the applicant to speak to us.
Good evening, Madam Chair and fellow commissioners. Jason Blankenship, 831 Casillo de Mar, Rio Grande, California. I'm representing the project applicant. This project was already approved several years ago, and it was in line for an extension, but my clients missed the extension deadlines, and we haven't made any changes to the project, if that gives you a little bit of more certainty. Or as far as the smells and stuff like that, I think that all gets hammered out when you get your permits. They put you through the ringer. This is step one. But all that said, I just asked for your approval tonight. It's a good project, and I think you'll see that the other ones that you approved, a lot of them, some of them don't get built. So I think it'll be a plus when we get this built and not a negative. Any questions, let me know. I appreciate your report, Janet. It's thorough and really good. Thank you for your hard work, and thank everybody for their hard work.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to speak on this item? I'm not seeing any hands go up. Is there anyone on the phone?
No, there's not.
Hearing no further comments, I will close public hearing for this item and let the commission provide comments on the report. And I will start again with Commissioner Halverson.
It looks like a good project to me, and I do vaguely remember approving it in the past, so I don't have any questions.
Great. Commissioner Hoffman?
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift?
No further questions.
And I do not have any further questions. So I will entertain a motion to approve development application 2456.
Move that we approve development application 2456 as submitted.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Clerk Rotana, would you kindly call the roll?
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes.
Thank you.
We move on to item number 4 on the agenda. This is development application 2424, and we will hear from Senior Planner Kyle Bell.
There we go. Hello, my name is Kyle Bell. Thank you for let me start over. Good evening. Tonight we will be discussing a new development application to construct a new three-story residential project that includes a tentative subdivision map and a request for 5% density bonus. The project includes a 10 new residential units and two attached ADUs and is located at 1220 Long Branch Avenue. The project site is located along the intersection of Long Branch Avenue and South 12th Street. The project site contains an existing single-family residence and is located in the high-density residential zone. The site is located across the street from Grover Beach Elementary School, with an auto dealership to the south, a funeral home to the north, and single-family homes to the east. The project site is currently developed with an existing single-family residence with several accessory storage structures that were constructed between 1960 and 1980 and is currently vacant. The proposed project will include the demolition of all existing structures on the site to accommodate the proposed project. The project consists of the construction of two new buildings. The first building is a three-story building oriented along 12th Street that consists of five townhomes and one attached ADU. And the second building consists of a two-story building located along the east property line, and it also consists of five townhomes and one ADU. The project provides access from Long Branch Avenue with all parking located within individual garages for each lot. The project also includes a density bonus of 5% to increase the density allowance of the property. To qualify for the density bonus, the project must provide at least one of the units as affordable. In this case, they've dedicated lot 8 for a very low income household unit qualifying for the density bonus. The project complies with objective design standards for multi-unit attached developments within the high-density residential zone. It features a contemporary architectural style with gabled roof elements, with majority of the massing oriented towards the street. The entryways are positioned towards the street frontage with recessed stoops, and all elevations provide sufficient articulation and exhibit high-quality design that contributes positively to the surrounding neighborhood character. The project is consistent with the general plan as it's been designed to integrate residential uses along located within walking distance of neighborhood amenities and incorporates a high quality design standards that enhance neighborhood aesthetics, activates the street, and supports a vibrant pedestrian environment. The project complies with applicable development standards and performance standards consistent with the provisions and requirements for the zone, with the exception to maximum height and the street side setback. Density bonus law mandates that public agencies provide for a density bonus program that relax development standards through incentives, concessions, or waivers. If a proposed project includes a prescribed percentage of affordable housing, the proposed project, in this case, the project provides the 5% of the base units to be dedicated to very low-income households and therefore qualifies for one concession and a waiver from development standards. The applicant is requesting a concession to reduce the site development standards for the maximum allowed height in the high-density residential zone to allow for a building height of 37 feet, where normally limited to 32 feet, and a waiver from street side setbacks to provide a 3-foot setback where 5 feet is normally required. As provided under density bonus law, the city must grant the applicant's request for a concession or waiver of a development standard unless doing so would result in the specific adverse impact upon health, safety, or the physical environment, or run contrary to state or federal law. The requested concession and waiver do not result in any specific adverse impacts and does not conflict with any state or federal law. The proposed project is categorically exempt from the provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act. The required findings for the exemptions have been included in the draft resolution. And tonight's recommendation is to find the project consistent with the general plan and the development code and approve the project as proposed, subject to findings and conditions. Staff would like to note that as part of the recommendation this evening, we would like to include an additional condition for the project to ensure that the affordable housing agreement is reported prior to permit issuance. This condition has been shared with the applicant prior to the hearing this evening. And the applicant also identified a discrepancy in condition number 8, which referred to a different project. So staff recommends removing a portion of that condition that refers to an exception. And I have the draft language for the new condition on the next slide. I'll read it out loud for the record. So the new condition number 10 would read, prior to issuance of building permits, the city and the applicant shall enter into an affordable housing agreement to be recorded in the office of the county recorder. The agreement shall specify mechanisms and procedures to ensure the continued affordability and availability of a 2-bedroom unit for a very low income household to the satisfaction of the community development director. And I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much, Senior Planner Bell. Do any of the commissioners have questions for staff? And I will start with Commissioner Halverson.
I was hoping you would, because I finally do. Thank you for the last slide. I was going to ask about that, so I'm glad we covered that already. As long as we're talking about the resolution, if you go to page 7 of it, under PW-4, item D, it says, 100% of the proposed impervious surfaces shall be collected and retained. I think that's probably a typo. Because we're not going to collect and retain the impervious surfaces. I think we're going to retain the rainwater, but
yes, I'll check on that in a second. Uh, Which condition?
It's on page 7, item D. Maybe your pagination is different than mine. It's under PW-4, item D.
I might have to consult with our public works director to identify the intent of this section.
I printed page, which I can show you.
Well, I did find it.
Oh, you did find it?
Yes. Okay, cool. But I just need to make sure that I have to read the requirement under the code section.
Well, like I said, I presume it's rainwater is what you're trying to collect and retain.
Me
too. Yes, we have our public works director, Greg Gray, here.
Available. Oh, there he is. Okay.
I'd be happy to speak to the condition. It should say that 100% of the runoff generated from the impervious materials on site shall be collected and retained on site. And you could paraphrase.
There we go. Okay, I'll have the revised language available on the screen in a second.
And the next one, item E, there's an extra B2 in there, B-E-T-O. It says collected and retained, storage volume 2B2 meat. Probably it's not right.
I'm sorry, could you reference that section number again?
The correction would be provide calculations for all impervious surfaces and the required storage volume to meet the city's on-site drainage retention requirements. So you got an extra B2.
Thank you.
Yeah, nitpicky, I know.
That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Hoffman?
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift?
So you said the waiver and concessions are required to be accepted for affordable units with a housing density bonus. The city must accept those waivers or must accommodate those waivers?
Correct. The density bonus law has been refined over the last few years to be more restrictive for cities' review of these types of projects. So any project that includes a density bonus law is subject... Any project that includes a density bonus request is also subject to the Housing Accountability Act. And so if we were to deny a concession or waiver, we would be responsible for identifying the finding that would identify an adverse impact for the project based off of that concession or waiver. And so staff's review of the application, we did not identify an adverse impact, which is specifically defined under the Housing Accountability Act and density bonus law. And so therefore, the staff is unable to recommend a denial of either the concession or the waiver.
What are the drivers in the project for the two waivers, both the height and the setback specifically? What creates that conflict that the waiver is needed?
So in this instance, the applicant indicated the additional height is desired for the project to accommodate the architectural style. And so while the height could be met with a flat roof system, it would lower it potentially could limit the ability to have a third floor. And reducing the square footage of one of the units also is a violation of density bonus law in that we cannot have a condition of a project that would reduce the density of the project as proposed.
And the street side setback was driven primarily by the distance between the two buildings needed for vehicle access?
That is correct.
That's all I had.
Thank you. The question I had was, so I wanted to verify the definition for very low income housing. So the unit, I believe it's the style C, but I assume we'll hear from our architect or the applicant. Two bedroom, one bath, 1,300 square feet, looks like. And so for very low income, That would be a family of three, or a family of three making less than $57,000 a year, is my understanding.
I do have the...
I looked up the 2024 numbers this morning, but I just want to make sure that we understand who's this neighbor that we're talking about, you know, that could have this home.
We don't always know that information right off the top of our heads, so let us look it up for you.
Yeah.
It can change.
Yeah, so
the numbers I have are in the $60,000 a year range, which, you know, we're talking someone making less than $30 an hour. Mm. But, you know, that could be a single parent or, you know, any other type of household that would be making that income could get this unit, which is great. I don't have any other questions for staff. So with that being said, I will open. Let me make sure I say this right. The public hearing is now open, and I will invite the applicant to come and speak to us.
Hi, my name is Paul Bischoff. I have nothing else to add other than thank you for your time, and we are here for questions. Eddie Herrera, the architect, and Phil O'Sullivan, the owner, and I, any of us, would be happy to answer any questions you have. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room who wanted to speak on item four? I'm not seeing any hands. Is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
Therefore, hearing no further comments, I will close the public hearing for this item and let the commission provide comments on the report. Starting with Commissioner Halverson.
All right. I'd just like to compliment the architect. That was I've never seen the ADU incorporated in the new construction before. So that was the first time. It took me a while studying the plans to figure out where the ADU was, but there it was instead of the garage. So kudos to that move. We got some extra living space as a result of that, so that's all good. Other than that, I don't have any other comments, I believe. Nope, that's it.
Commissioner Hoffman.
I just wanted to say I think this is a great example of high-quality infill development, and I'm excited to see how it progresses.
Vice Chair Swift.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with the other commissioners that it'll be a big improvement on that corner from, you know, what it's looked like for a long time. I went back and looked at the history of the street view, and it was everything from an abandoned car lot to a, you know, a bunch of lean-tos. So it looked nice there. I think my only concern that I brought up with staff is that we start getting building heights trickling up with various exceptions, and then do we start setting any kind of a precedent where everyone will say, well, Paul got a 37-foot building, why can't we have a 37-foot building? But it sounds like this is driven primarily by state requirements for that density bonus. So otherwise, I think it looks like a great project on that corner there. So thank you.
Thank you. And I will reiterate, I think it is a great project. I think it's a lot of versatile space. I'm excited to see the very low income home included. That's very encouraging. As someone who lives in a three-story row home, this commission gets tired of me saying it. I have opinions on things that make it great. They're very energy efficient. So I love to see more of them coming in. Recently, though, I've been thinking about outlets and where they're positioned. And I don't have an outlet at the very entrance of my unit going up the stairs. And I have a couple of neighbors who are looking at installing stair lifts as they get older. And I don't know if there's a way to just include one at the beginning so someone doesn't have to, you know, put one in later. But it'd be a nice to have. As well as, at least in my garage, it'd be nice to have an outlet closer to the door where I put my e-bike and charge that. And then, you know, Christmas lights. So, but those were my opinions on the design as I looked at the floor plans. No other comments. Thank you so much for presenting this project. It looks really good. So, any other comments, questions? I will. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. Oop. Here we go. So, do I have a motion for item four to approve development application 2424?
So I would just make sure that any motion that's made includes the changes that were proposed to the language within the resolution.
Yes.
For PW condition PW4D and PW4E.
And was it CDD-10 that you mentioned?
CDD-8 and CDD-10. And CDD-10 would be a new condition.
So there's four changes, the two that Kyle, that Mr. Bell just referenced, and then the two that were caught by Commissioner Halverson, which is PW4-D, PW4-E. And I don't believe, unfortunately, that we're able to bring those changes up on our screen. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we can just say as, or your commission can make the motion as indicated by staff, as corrected by staff into the record.
Okay. I will invite a motion to approve development application 2424 as corrected by the discussion with staff. Do I have a motion?
I will move that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution to approve development application 24-24 with the updates discussed with staff.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Clerk Ratana, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Chair Mann, sorry to interrupt. You had asked about the San Luis Obispo County median income for very low-income housing. It's contingent on the family size. Mm-hmm. Do you have a household size that you're wanting me to quote? I've got family of four is 63,650.
Yeah, that's the numbers that I found today.
Yeah. So that's based on the May 2024 2024 state income limits memo.
Yeah, which would likely be a little higher next year because they're based on median income. So great. Thank you so much for getting that info for us. Moving along to a pre-application conversation. This is not a hearing, as I understand it. This is development application 24-51, and we will hear from Development Director Megan Martin.
Thank you. We'll bring the presentation up. So good evening. Coastal Community Builders has submitted a conceptual project to the city for preliminary review and comments. Procedurally, this is known as a pre-application. There's no decision-making action for your commission this evening. The purpose of the presentation is to receive the presentation and provide comment and feedback to the applicant as they progress to the next step, which would be a formal application should they decide to pursue. Next slide, please. Oh, thank you. The project site is located at 191 South Oak Park, just a few hundred feet south of West Grand Avenue. It's located within the Central Business Open, also known acronym as CBO, Zoning District. This zone's generally defined as a transition area between higher intensity commercial uses and nodes. This zone allows for a mixture of commercial, office, and residential uses while also allowing for the integration of first floor residential as well as solely residential. And this site was rezoned with the last development code update. Sorry, not the most recent update, which is still in draft form, but the previous one, the 2021-2022 development code update. And that rezone to CBO was to provide for an increase in allowable residential density. Slide, please. The site is partially developed with two commercial buildings. Half of the site is undeveloped with scattered vegetation. The site is accessed from West Grand Avenue. Public frontage improvements, including curb gutter and sidewalk, as you can see in the photos on your screen, are on the project frontage. Slide, please. Conceptual project design includes a 21-lot subdivision, construction of a new commercial restaurant building, and construction of three new three-story residential buildings. The project would include on-site parking and associated public improvements and site landscaping. One of the commercial buildings, the northernmost commercial building that fronts South Oak Park, will demolish approximately 650 square foot of building encroachment into the public right-of-way. They'll be adding, the intent is to add an additional additional 800 square feet of new commercial space to the rear of that same commercial building. So you'd be gaining about 250 square feet. A slide, please. The overall project design is contemporary in nature with the initial concept that they've proposed. There's a blend of natural elements, various facade articulation to define the individual units from one another. Residences would also have private balconies on the second floor, as well as private open space for use by the future residents. The commercial space, which is on the left-hand side of your screen in front of you, would include an outdoor patio for dining with integrated landscaping. Slide. The residential development, this is the site plan up on your screen, would include construction of 20 attached townhome or condominium style units. Each is approximately 2,038 square feet with an attached tandem garage. A single driveway would enter in off of West Grand Avenue and connect through at the rear to the commercial lot that would be just to the north of this. The new commercial space would be accessed from an existing driveway. The parking lot would be restriped to accommodate the required number of parking spaces associated with the proposed commercial space. As you can see on the screen in front of you, this is an approximately 1,600 to 1,800 square foot designed building and includes outdoor dining, pedestrian pathway, as well as integrated landscaping. Slide, please. So these are just a few photos that kind of demonstrate the architectural style and the inspiration for both the residential as well as the commercial. I'll allow the applicant and their architect to speak more to that design and to that inspiration with their presentation. Next slide, please. This is the commercial inspiration. Next slide, please. So the project as designed complies with key general plan policies, specifically our land use element. Our guiding policies include land use policy 2.6. This encourages higher density development in areas with access to services, amenities, and transit. This is a mixed use infill project, and the design truly maximizes the available space of the site and maximizes the allowed density to provide for as many residential units as would be allowed. The central location also supports the city's goal of reducing vehicle trips by promoting walkability and transit use. Policy 3.1 emphasizes the importance of infill projects, which can enhance the character of existing neighborhoods. 4.1 promotes mixed-use projects that integrate residential and commercial uses to create a vibrant and livable community. The project's combination truly is a balance of uses and fosters a lively streetscape by making the improvements to the existing commercial structure as well as the new commercial restaurant use. Just creates a more lively and pedestrian-oriented streetscape on and along South Oak Park Boulevard. 7.3 prioritizes development that activates the street and provides economic and cultural benefits to the community. The restaurant specifically creates that active street presence that I just mentioned and provides a venue for community interaction. Additionally, the residential component contributes to the city's overall housing goals. Overall, the proposed project's a prime example of how thoughtful design and strategic planning can align with the general plan land use element policies. By integrating that higher density housing and high quality infill development, The project supports the city's vision for a sustainable, vibrant, and connected neighborhood. Next slide, please. In addition to the policies of the city's land use element, the project's consistent with the applicable goals and policies of our housing element. Goal 1 emphasizes the importance of maintaining and expanding our housing supply to meet the needs of all residents. These residential units contribute to increasing the local housing stock by introducing new high-quality housing units. The design ensures long-term durability and would be conditioned to be energy efficient, consistent with our building code, and that would make the units both sound and sustainable. Goal 2 is to provide a variety of housing choices and increase the supply of new housing to meet the community's regional housing needs. These units add to the variety of housing choices available in Grover Beach, complementing existing single-family homes and rental apartments. The mixed-use nature of the development also enhances the livability of the neighborhood by integrating housing with accessible commercial amenities. Policy 1.2 promotes the inclusion of diverse housing forms to address the needs of a wide range of residents. the design of these units offer flexible housing opportunities, and that can accommodate both small households and larger families. And the proposed mixed-use project aligns with the housing element's guiding policies by expanding our housing supply, diversifying housing choices, and addressing our regional housing needs. Next slide, please. The housing element outlines their goals and policies. It also identifies opportunity sites within the city that could be developed for lower-income households. This site specifically is designated as an opportunity site in our housing element, having the potential to support additional housing, including units affordable to lower-income households. And while the city's implemented incentives that are up on your screen in front of you, specific to fractional density, state density bonus, as well as recently adopting a development impact fee deferral program, these cannot be mandated, and the applicant at this time has not proposed this as an affordable housing project. However, the design of the units as attached units, combined with the infill nature of the project, suggests they may be more affordable than standard single-family units. And by adding new housing in this location, by strategically adding housing in this location, the project does advance the city's goals of promoting additional housing supply and housing types within our city. Next slide, please. Staff reviewed the project design with the applicable standards of the zoning district. Again, that is that central business open. With your commission's input this evening, some of the project design could change, but upon formal submittal, the project would again be reviewed for consistency with the CBO zone. All development standards and requirements within the development code, including objective design standards for multi-unit residential as well as mixed-use projects. Some of those standards are shown on the screen in front of you. So, for example, they would be allowed to go up to 100% lot coverage. Maximum height in CBO is 55 feet. Setbacks that are adjacent to a residential zone are 5 feet from the side as well as 10 feet from the rear. There are residential uses both to the east and south of this project and commercial to the north. Landscaping is 5% and parking would be required to comply with our parking standards outlined in our development code. Slide, please. In addition to the standard submittal documents, the project will be required to include a traffic analysis as well as visual renderings. The traffic study will be used to evaluate the potential impacts the project may have on our surrounding transportation network. The study will identify changes in traffic volume, flow, and safety, ensuring the project complies with local as well as regional transportation standards. One last item that will need to be addressed as we continue progressing with the conceptual project into a formal submittal would be the preparation of a utility analysis. So as part of this process, staff refers these project descriptions and these conceptual plans to reviewing departments. So for example, Public Works, Building, sometimes Five Cities Fire, sometimes outside agencies like the Air Pollution Control District. So depending on the scope of a project, it can be referred out to multiple different departments or agencies. This is common practice in both county as well as city jurisdictions and was referred to our Public Works Department. And one of the things that they identified was that based on our sewer master plan, we do have deficiencies within our existing system that would not necessarily be able to support a potential increase in load. And so the passage of Measure G24 has eliminated the city's ability to increase sewer fees to address these existing sewer line deficiencies. The city does have planned capital projects to address these sewer deficiencies as part of the master plan, which I linked in the staff report if you're interested in perusing or reading the document. Highly suggest it. But passage again of Measure G24, which returns our water and sewer rates back to the 2021 rate, limits the necessary funding that the city has to spend on those improvements and the capital projects that are identified in that plan. This could impact the development of the project as well as other future developments, similar future developments, by limiting the available capital improvement funding for those sewer infrastructure upgrades. In these cases, the developer may need to bear those additional costs to address the deficiencies. This is commonly done under a reimbursement agreement. It isn't something that is common to this city, but it's not unique. But overall, the passage of G24 affects affects this and similar projects' feasibility and their timelines, and may necessitate alternative funding solutions. And so for the city to address these impacts, really the point to make here is that the city would need to have an appropriate sewer rate structure in place to fund these improvements to address those existing deficiencies. And so with that, next slide. Our next steps here are to this evening receive your comments. Following your comments, the applicant will prepare the formal submittal to the city. We will review it and return to your commission for public hearing. And again, because this is a pre-application meeting and no decision-making action is being taken here tonight, the thought process behind a pre-application is that when they do have the formal submittal, that the review time is more expeditious based on our preliminary feedback as well as your input. That concludes my presentation, and myself as well as our Public Works Director, Mr. Ray, are available for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. I will call on the commissioners if you have any questions for staff, starting with Commissioner Halverson.
Okay, so you mentioned G24, and now I have to ask, I realize it repealed the increase that the City Council had approved. But cannot the City Council go ahead and do another rate case analysis and consider another rate increase that only included the sewer and the water upgrades that we need to do? Isn't that an option, or is that precluded by G24?
The city can pursue another Prop 218 ballot to pursue water and sewer, a new water and sewer rate structure, correct?
You said ballot. Does it mean it has to go to the voters?
I would look to our city attorney to define that for us.
No, so the city would be able to bring another rate, proposed rate increase. However, prior to doing that, it would need to conduct a water rate study.
Right, a rate.
A nexus study. It would have to do a new study because the prior study included things that are no longer on the table anymore. And so the water rate was previously reduced based on staff's crunching of the numbers to essentially remove the CCB component of it out of the water rates. But now that they've been wholly repealed, then they have to go through a new rate study, which will take some time, and then eventually they can bring that forward.
Okay, that's what I assumed, but I just wanted to be sure that was the case. Okay. Aside from that, I don't have any other questions of staff.
Commissioner Hoffman.
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. You said traffic study, and actually, before I even say that, correction for the record, when you were talking about the project, you said it had access on West Grand Avenue.
Thank you.
It's access on South Oak Park. And with regards to traffic study, if you look at the driveway for this proposed project and you look at the Oak Park exit from Vaughn's, that's already a pretty hairy intersection. And so if traffic is a problem there, then what do you do, right? I mean, do you move the new driveway? Do you put in a light that close to Oak Park? Do you direct the traffic out of this project to only be, left turn, and they have to go south on Oak Park in order to come back around? It seems like it's potentially a complicated intersection that should be looked at closely as this project matures.
Absolutely. All of those things are looked at under the traffic study, and recommendations are provided by that transportation engineer as to what the correct condition should be. And I believe, and Mr. Ray can speak to this as well, but I believe we also have standards for where driveways can be placed, whether across from one another as well as linear distance from one another on the same side of the street.
Yeah, I think my point was it's going to be kind of a mess there if they're competing with Vaughn's.
Understood.
So, and then I think to what Commissioner Halverson said about G24, I think we've heard a lot of whining about the impact of it and squandered the better part of a year not just getting back to it and doing another 218 process with the community. And it seems like this is a project that really requires that, and so I would hope that would light a fire under the city to get the work done, to get the rates done, to support the stuff that needs to get done. I think that's an important point. Yep. And you just said sewer. So there's no water main, power upgrades, anything else, other utilities at this intersection that would be impacted by this?
That is not necessarily reviewed at this time. That's reviewed with that formal application submittal. During a pre-application, we look for big project. We look for comments that would critically impact the project. All of the others can typically be worked out during the plan review as well as the building permit review stage.
And so sewer was the only one that was flagged?
Correct.
That was all I had.
Thank you, Vice Chair Swift. Right now we're questions for staff. What did I have here? I did have a question about what happens to the current businesses as a project like this, because they're going to demolish one of the buildings, right?
No, both commercial buildings will remain.
I thought one of the buildings is getting removed because...
Just one end.
A portion of of the northernmost commercial building fronting South Oak Park, about 650 square feet, will be demolished and added to the other end.
Oh, okay.
I'll ask the applicant to speak to how that tenant would be impacted and where how they're planning to work with each of those lease spaces.
Okay, but the plan is to not demolish the current building and rebuild it. It's no. To just... Okay, I misunderstood.
There may be minor facade improvements, but at this time that has not been fully imagined yet.
Okay, that's encouraging. I'll just chime in on the G24 issue. I personally was disappointed to see the repeal, but the voters have spoken. I think one advantage of doing a new study is that the original study assumed an increase in new water customers of only 20 per year. And with what we're seeing in terms of development here, we're going to have a lot more people to spread that cost, you know, a lot more accounts to spread that cost over. So, you know, you increase the denominator and everybody pays a little less. So I'm hopeful we can move forward in a positive way with that. And that's all I have on that. So let us move on to the public hearing. I will open it and ask the applicant to come forward.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Eddie Herrera. I'm the architect. And once again, thank you for your time. Great presentation by city staff. Megan, I feel like she pretty much outlined what we wanted to talk about. I do have a presentation. I wanted to see how I can kind of get my... There we go. All right. This project basically is about 1.8 acres in size. And as we just spoke about the project, there's two existing buildings on site, both commercial use. And building one, identified on this map, is the building in question. The front end of that building would be partially demolished, and we would bring back some additional building square footage towards the rear of that building. So I think that's a really good move, and I applaud the applicant for kind of looking at this. I do think that it's going to improve the streetscape in terms of the exiting component. That some of those concerns will be studied through the traffic analysis, but improving the streetscape by widening that street is going to help improve some of that visibility and will align better the walkway towards other uses at the corner of the street. The other half of the site is proposed residential use, and I went ahead and color-coded the two just for comparison. Approximately half of the site is being residential use, the other half is being shared by commercial, but we do have a common public area space that is meant for entertaining and gathering. Next slide, please. And as discussed, these are the existing uses on site. Essentially a vacant lot surrounded on two sides by existing residential housing, primarily two-story, some three-story towards the rear of that property. And then adjoining the vacant side, we have the existing parcel commercial with existing retail spaces, restaurant uses, and the like. Next slide. Again, another view of the projection on South Oak Park here and what we're trying to improve. So this is the frontage building that is in question. We're trying to realign that back to the street curb on both sides of this property. Next slide, please. This is the proposed master site plan. One of the things that we took into consideration was minimizing traffic by promoting foot traffic and being able to essentially have residents that can literally walk over to existing commercial uses and other spaces as well. The new commercial facility there is envisioned to be potentially a restaurant cafe type use with open plaza area, and we want to make that super inviting, centralize the public amenity open space for both commercial and residential use. Next slide, please. And as discussed, this was the multitude of imagery, inspiration, as we call these mood boards, but basically tried to inspire some of the detailing and material applications based on what we're trying to achieve, a more contemporary look, something that's low maintenance and can kind of withstand the elements in this environment, being close to the coastal zone. But plaster, cement fiberboard, metal, those are all some of the typical materials that we would want to introduce. We also do like the tone-on-tone earth tones that are being used, some of the warm colors, with complementing some of the cooler tones. Next slide, please. Here's a composition of one of the buildings, applying some of those ideas generated by the mood board. We have various color schemes. We have three building types, but we do plan on treating each building with various color schemes so that they have complementary colors amongst each other. Roof form would be, you know, comp shingle roofing. We do have the plaster, and we do have some metal accents along the facade to differentiate each building facade. Next slide, please. This is another example of a different scheme applied, and you can see the tone-on-tone considerations that we're considering with the fiber cement. Next slide. And here's the third one. Again, just to show the differentiation of the different color tones. Next slide. This is an example of the typical unit layout. We got a ground floor area that connects us to upper floor living spaces. So we have a tandem scenario here with an entry that can actually connect to a rear yard area and a small home office space. Upstairs, we have a main great space, great room space, kitchen, dining, living space, pantry area, and then on the third floor we have a three-bedroom, two-bath scenario there. So this is a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath layout. Next slide, please. For the commercial, what we were really looking to try to address was making sure that it was very compatible with the residential character that we're trying to establish, and also being considerate of the existing structures and how we would potentially address the facade upgrades that our applicant is choosing to make on that to kind of unify the project as a whole. But this kind of gives a character of the type of materials and color work that we're envisioning for the space on the commercial. Next slide. This is an example that we are considering for one of the existing buildings. This is building one. This is the building that we were just speaking of that has the reduction in square footage up on the front, but essentially readdressing it with a little bit more of a contemporary look, getting some awnings over the doors and new roof, new paint, and those kind of techniques, new lighting. Next slide, please. As we're looking at that existing commercial, we're trying to design a new building that can feel like it's been there, and not a new addition, but still very much an upgrade to the surrounding site. A little bit higher ceilings here, more storefront visibility for that potential cafe restaurant use. Next slide, please. This is an enlargement of that new building space. We'll have outdoor dining, potential proximity parking for that new entry point, and an open outdoor common plaza space for gathering and having lunch. Next slide, please. this last image is the vision for that plaza space and what we are considering with the complementary on materials and making sure that the residential massing and the new building design for the commercial are compatible and can scale down to the existing single-story massing that we'll eventually have as well. Next slide, please. I went ahead and summarized what Megan has already summarized in her presentation, but essentially hitting on the general plan consistencies. I won't go through those in detail, but we do hit a lot of those. And housing element as well. And I feel like this project, we're excited about this project. There's a lot of thought that's put into the circulation, and we're hoping that the traffic study will help complement what we're trying to achieve as well with the circulation patterns and traffic and calming down of the street by widening out South Oak Park. With that, I want to open it up to any questions if my applicant say a couple of words here.
So we will continue with the public hearing, correct? The next person, go ahead.
Good evening.
Oh, it is. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Good evening, Cam Boyd with Coastal Community Builders. Thank you, Megan, and the rest of staff for all your hard work on this thus far. And I appreciate you commissioners being here to give us a little bit of feedback on what we believe is going to be a very nice project if we're able to make it happen. Did want to touch on a couple of items that were discussed earlier. There was some concern about, you know, the construction and what the impacts may be to the existing tenants of the existing commercial. Something that's a little bit different about this project from a typical, you know, the recent CCB projects that you guys have seen is that typically CCB goes in, demolishes the existing structures and builds all new. This project's a little bit different in that we're actually partnering with the existing landowner, who's the landlord, and cares quite a bit about his tenants. He's made that quite clear. And so, although of course construction is going to impact them to some extent, I'm sure he'll make sure to keep us in line during construction such that his tenants aren't too negatively impacted. And Brad, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that one unit that was going to be demolished is vacant at the moment. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll be occupied until they do finally demolish.
Okay. So, but there are transition plans for that one tenant. The other point I wanted to make is with respect to the sewer deficiencies. You know, we were very excited about this project and got a little bit blindsided by the fact that it appears the official sewer study hasn't been completed yet, but it appears there are some anticipated or known already deficiencies for the sewer lines going through, I believe it's three blocks of Mentone. We've got an estimate to do those repairs. It would be somewhere in the order of about $600,000, which this project could not bear those costs. That would be a project killer. So to the extent there's the political willpower within the city and the capability, I would strongly encourage the city to do whatever they can to address those existing known deficiencies and not try and put it on the back of a project like this, because the project just wouldn't move forward. So anyways, it sounds like there's a similar sentiment in this room, but just wanted to kind of reiterate that. So anyways, thank you all, and I'm here for questions. So
thank you very much. I will continue with the public hearing. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to speak to item 5? Yes, please come up, state your name. Please give your sheet to Clerk Ratana.
Name's Mike Harris. I actually live in Arroyo Grande. Thanks for the card. Resident of Trillium Grande, which is just on the other side of the city line stuff. Happy to see the development, so I think it's all going to go good. Two concerns just in regards to Trillium Grande. We're already dealing with the construction north of us, which was permitted back in 2015. They're still not complete. So just don't want to see that happen again. If anything happens and stuff, I would like to see deadlines, completion bonds, whatever it does. This can't have project lingering and stuff. Not to say it would, just don't want to see that happen. The other thing we've had and stuff is got a dead space between an existing commercial unit north of this project as well as behind commercial building two, which is, I guess, the setback's going to be 10 foot now. I discovered right now it's 5. So we'd like to see something dealt with or where we don't have trespassers, vagrants, homeless back in that space if anything can happen there and stuff. And I think when Harry spoke, the access is off Oak Park, not West Grant. Okay. That's it. Happy to see development and happy to follow along. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the room that wanted to speak to item 5? Is there anyone on the phone that wanted to speak to item 5?
No, there's not.
Okay. Keep with the script. Hearing no further comments, I will close the public hearing for this item and let the commission provide comments on the report. Commissioner Halverson, do you have some ideas on this pre-application?
Some ideas. Yeah, sure. First of all, I'd like to say that it looks like CCB's going to hit another home run with this one. We're getting spoiled with your good designs, and I was happy to see this one appear on our docket. Reviewing the site plans, it looks like your architects used every square foot of space. I mean, there's no empty spaces left. I was going to suggest our chair loves to see a dog park, but I couldn't find any place to put it. So maybe there's something will turn up later on. I noticed in the kitchen layouts there were no designated dishwashers. Okay, I assume they're going to be there, but just an idea. And then in the garages, the long tandem garage, some people don't like that, but it certainly saves a lot of horizontal space in the building layout. I didn't see any design for storage in there, and that would be a key thing, I think, for people to be able to put their Christmas lights away and all that sort of thing. And then as far as the long construction times, yeah, I know the development you're talking about there on Grand, and I keep going by there and wondering what's taking so long. I don't think you'll have that issue with this contractor, with this developer. So I think you don't have any problems there. And that's all my comments.
Thank you. Commissioner Hoffman.
I think the design is very attractive, and I really like the big, tall windows in the commercial building. The middle one, and I was wondering if you guys were going to update the existing buildings because they look very different than what this plan is. So I'm happy to hear that that's happening, and yeah, I'm excited to see how this one goes. I think I really like the layout of that commercial building. It does kind of remind me of some newer Starbucks, so I hope a Starbucks doesn't move in there. But but yeah, I'm very excited. So thank you,
Vice Chair Swift.
I think it'll be a big improvement on that location. It's too bad this isn't going in somewhere between 8th and 9th around Ramona Park, because then I would be down there every single day. But no, I think it'll look nice. I think my biggest concern, as I stated, was with traffic, just because that's already a pretty wild location. And then I don't know whether this is a comment or a question, but I guess hearing from an AG resident, this is a place where Grover and AG are sort of commingled across that boundary. And I'm just wondering if you've heard from other AG residents around that area, or if they're even aware that this is going to be a development there. But, I don't know.
We haven't begun a public outreach program just as of yet. Wanted to get, you know, some preliminary feedback from you guys before we began that. But we'll make sure that's part of our program.
I'm assuming the distance is not partial to city boundaries. It's just a 300 feet distance or whatever, right?
Correct. It's 300 feet. And additionally, as I mentioned earlier, as part of our process, we refer out to applicable agencies, departments. That also includes other city agencies. So we will be referring this to their community development department as well for review.
I think our Royal Grande resident got notified. That's why he's here.
Great. Great. I think this looks fantastic. I think it would be nice to see some more of these things pop up on some of the city corners. So thank you.
Thank you. And I agree. I think it's a really great development, and I hope that we can get it over the finish line at some point. Since I did not get a yellow piece of paper, that means that I live outside of that 300-foot radius, so I'm not too worried about commenting on it. So I already asked my question about the current businesses. I understand now, since we're using the same building, why there's not residential going up above them. So that's okay. I do always bring up a pet relief area. I don't know if each of the units has a little outdoor space. You know, I think about, like, these are family size units, three bed, 2.5 bath. That's really nice. And a lot of families want to have a dog.
Backyard.
Okay, great. So always nice to have a little space for the animals. And then I was thinking about, this location is on the bus lines, isn't it? So I think there's buses that run up and down Oak Park and also along Grand. So
correct. I don't know the exact proximity or distance, but yes, they do run along both West Grand and South Oak Park.
So great location there, if you want to reduce your car use. We'll have to think about, my guess is folks towards the south end of that lot are going to want to just cross the street and not go up to the light to get over to the Vaughns. So we'll see what that looks like. I'm sure we can figure it out. And then, like I said, with the other row homes, you know, outlets in the right places, and the longer I live in one of them, the more things I'm like, oh, this is really great about this, or, oh, man, I wish I had that. So anyway, thanks for giving us this great presentation. Thank you very much to staff. And I don't think there's no motion to take on this. Am I correct?
Correct. And I've noted all of the suggestions. I'll continue to coordinate and communicate closely with the applicant as they pursue a formal application.
All right. Thank you so much. We will move on to the rest of the agenda. There are no regular business items listed. So moving on to commissioners' comments. Do we have, I'm going to open this up to each person, comments about things that were not, that we haven't discussed yet in this meeting that we want to bring up. I will start with Commissioner Halverson.
What again?
I know.
All right. Well, I'd just like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, because we won't see each other until next year.
That's right. Commissioner Hoffman?
No comments.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes, you also need an outlet in the hallway. Have you ever noticed there's no outlets in hallways?
Yes.
Because
yes.
They're a trip hazard, because someone will plug a lamp into them. But that's where you want to plug your vacuum cleaner into.
I agree. Could you put it in the, well, maybe not in the floor. I don't know. We can figure things out.
And if you're an engineer, you can figure out.
Put it in the ceiling.
I have no other comments.
And I have no other comments except thank you, everyone, for this. We've done some good work this year. It's been a lot of conversations. We've seen some really great projects come through. I think we can be proud that we are working towards more homes and more space for businesses. I was looking at an article today talking about, sometimes people can kind of get the assumption that if you build new construction is usually, you know, is going to be more expensive, right? And so is that really affordable? But what we see in other places is that if you allow the construction of some more new homes, the older homes get less expensive. And we saw that with when we couldn't make new cars for a while. In the early pandemic, used cars got really expensive. So, you know, let's look forward to that and keep... keep moving with it. So thank you, everyone.
I do have one more thing to add, and this might be a tasking for staff. I think I've asked you, Megan, in the past in an email about if you look at all of the current buildable land and you sort of extrapolate from how we're doing with the various developers putting in housing today and just assume that we're going to continue to build out the lots that we have available at, you know, sort of similar densities, similar sizes and styles of homes. How do we look approaching our arena numbers for kind of the 2050 build out? Could we get a, you know, can we get a report out on that?
We can look into it. I can provide you our arena updates as of today and what we plan to accomplish with this housing element cycle, with the sixth cycle. But as it relates to our full build out, that's going to take some time, and we have some pretty important competing priorities right now. I think if we were to engage staff resources in that level of a of a research project, it would take quite some time. So let me look into what the actual lift would be and see what I can find out for us.
And if nothing else, if you have an idea of the, you know, sort of the raw, I would say, lot square footage that, you know, that would be considered. And I mean, I can even grossly extrapolate that a little bit. Just I'm mostly curious as to how we're doing.
I think we're doing pretty well based on our numbers that we have right now. I think where this gets complicated is that we cannot plan for even utilized or underutilized parcel and what could potentially be built out onto it. So even if we only took what is currently available and vacant, extrapolate that to what a developer could do or a property owner could do with even an underutilized lot similar to this one. The numbers would go through the roof. So as of right now, subject to our constraints with our development code and our general plan policies, but we'll get back to you. I'll see what I can do. And like I said, we have a lot of other competing priorities for this next year. And it could also be something that we're trying to hire an intern. So maybe it's something that they could support us with as well. So we'll see.
I would just add that the housing element did identify this work effort in 2020, and so there was several opportunity sites, such as 191 South Oak Park, that identified a potential development build-out, and so that table is available in the housing element dependencies.
Right, which I've provided to you before, the housing element opportunity sites. Yeah, we'll see what we can find.
But I should note that was under the previous development code, and since the new development code in 2020 might have more opportunities, a refresh of that assessment is probably warranted.
Any other comments from the commissioners? Then I will move on to Community Development Director Martin's report. I invite you to speak.
I just have a few. If you haven't heard or if you haven't seen, we've had announcements up all over City Hall as well as online. Community Development Department, as well as our fellow team members in Public Works, as well as some folks from Admin Services, have been busily configuring and outfitting our new permitting software. It's been a huge overhaul. Actually, our senior planner, Mr. Bell, has been absolutely critical and integral to that, to the success of that thus far. And this week we are in training. So we are in what I like to call our blackout week. Unfortunately, not taking any new applications. We are not fielding phone calls. We are taking emails, and we will get back to folks as quickly as we can next week in the order in which those emails were received. We plan to go live with our new permitting software. It's called Enterprise Permitting and Licensing, also known as the acronym of EPNL. I said this already, but we go live with that on Monday. So this will replace our current system, much more efficient. The workflows are automated. And so far in training, we're on day two, but things are going really, really well. I also wanted to update your commission. We had a circulation element update visioning workshop. We had about 12 to 15 attendees, 12 attendees. And then this was hosted by Cal Poly, who's supporting us and providing us some much needed resources, people resources, for part of our community outreach efforts. We also still are maintaining the online survey that's available on our website, and all information related to that circulation visioning workshop, as well as the current status of our circulation element update, is online. So you can go on there. And folks at home can also go online and take that survey and see what we're doing. I also wanted to mention to you that we are planning on, and it is tentative, but we are planning on having a joint Planning Commission City Council study session related to the circulation element update. And we are right now hoping to get to that in February. And the goal is to come back to your commission with the draft document in May of 2025. So we're really excited. We're pushing forward, and a lot of our time and resources are going to be going into that once the configuration of this new permitting software is kicked off and is successful. Let's see, just a couple of other updates. The West End holiday promotion, it's similar to just the most recent West Grand Avenue Business Bingo program that we initiated for the month of November. This supports our businesses. And so beginning on, sorry, another way to, that we're helping our support our businesses is a West End holiday promotion activity on December 14th. This will be following the holiday parade. The Chamber is going to be leading, it sounds like, this effort, and it's encouraging people to shop or dine in the West End from 4th Street to Highway 1 on the afternoon of the 14th. There will be a raffle at Grover Station Grill around 3 o'clock. Individuals who spend money that day at a Grover Beach retailer or food and beverage business can bring their receipt to enter into the raffle. Upcoming holiday events, December 6th, the holiday tree lighting, and Santa's Workshop Vendor Fair from 4 to 6 at Ramona Garden Park. The tree lighting will be at 5:30. December 7th, we're looking forward to our employee holiday party. And December 14th, as I just mentioned, is the holiday parade. It'll be 10 o'clock along West Grand Avenue, and there will be council members attending that parade. I think that that is it from me, unless anybody has any questions about anything going on around the community.
Anything, Commissioner Halverson?
No.
Commissioner Hoffman?
No.
I thought the parade was on the 14th, not the 7th.
It is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, there we go. The our employee holiday party is on December 7th.
Okay, the city parade is on the 14th.
Yeah,
okay.
Correct.
And then I had a question. When the circulation element vision survey, when does that close?
Oh, Senior Planner Bell?
We'll probably close it a couple weeks before the study session so that we can collect all the information and present it to the studies, present the findings at the study session.
Great.
As of last week, we had just over 60 survey results. So already we've surpassed, I think it's good numbers. Already it surpassed our previous survey that we sent out for the short-term rental ordinance. So
that's great. Well,
there were more Cal Poly students at the workshop than there were city residents, though.
We put out information on social media, on our website, a second time on social media, and we've made announcements. I can't, just like I can't, unfortunately, mandate affordable housing at this time, I can't mandate people to come to our workshops. Yeah. But please continue to get the word out. We'll continue to feed you information on any upcoming workshops. I think our next one, do you know when we might be planning that with Cal Poly?
Not yet. We haven't gone on the schedule for winter yet.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make sure to get that information, and you guys can help us to get it out to more people. So we try.
Just regarding social media posts, I mean, we are seeing that places like Facebook, if you have a link in the post, they will throttle it so it hides it. And basically, anything that links out of the system, they will not promote it as much. So the trick is in some cases, is to put the link in the comment.
I'll talk to our social media folks about that.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
So I guess what I'm saying is we can't rely on these companies to be, you know, like give us a break as a city, as a public service. They're just treating us, I imagine they're just treating us like any other, you know, account. So I'm not confident. I don't know that for sure, but that's my understanding. And was there anything else on that? I would recommend we get on Blue Sky, though, instead of Twitter. So maybe have a conversation about that. It seems to be trending up. It's an alternative short form microblogging site like Twitter, but has a different algorithm. It doesn't have an algorithm. So if you follow people, you get to see what they posted.
I'll talk to our social media folks about it. Thank you.
With no further, are we ready? With no further business before the commission, I adjourn this meeting at 7:28.